Bow wow wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. I'm already laughing. This is Nate, and with me as always is, who is this girl?
It's Ray, it's girl person.
All right, and of course, Brickle and Digby know me as boy person. You might as well, through the Brickle and Digby dog blog. And of course, they are known as the two traveling dogs, Digby Pancake and Peanut Butter Brickle. And we want to welcome you to another edition of the Adventure of a Lifetime podcast. And if you hear any sounds that you may not be familiar with, it's because we have the windows open here in the big blue treat wagon. And we did that on purpose so that you could get the sights and sounds of the campground. And of course, they include dogs barking, people talking, people doing dishes, people going in and out of the bathhouse, because we are parked right next to the bathhouse. But again, that's all part of the experience. We want to bring you with us on this adventure of a lifetime. And we want to bring you as close as we can to Brickle and Digby, because they are close to us. Tonight, Digby is laying on the floor with his blanket, and Brickle is actually commandeered the couch, it looks like, for tonight. And that's the way it's going to be. So they may jump up from time to time, make some noise, but that's the way it is here with life in the campground. What type of sounds do you normally hear in the campground, Ray, that are strange to you?
I hear a lot of kids screaming, a lot of parents yelling at their kids for screaming. I hear people trying to start campfires. That was last night. I have no idea what they were doing. I think they were cutting down a tree or something.
Oh, yeah, they were chopping wood. Chopping wood.
And a lot of, like you said, dogs barking, and dogs a lot of barking. Times that's our dogs. I was in the shower last night and realized I had forgot to shut the curtains, because we normally shut the curtains because so they don't bark at everything. And I realized, oh, I'm in the shower and I can hear them. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And right now I'm actually looking out the window. I see somebody doing some dishes next to the bathhouse.
That is the worst.
Doing dishes.
Yeah. I think doing dishes at the campground outside in the sinks is just awful.
Yeah, and you know, people, I hate it. It is kind of rough. People probably wonder, well, you have a motorhome, why are you doing dishes outside in the sink? But a lot of the campgrounds that we go to do not have hookups for drain water, to put it, I guess that's kind of the nicest way to put it. And if you are doing dishes, you're going to fill up what's called holding tanks on the motorhome quite a bit. I know this is not exciting, the technical side of camping.
No, but it's, I'm glad you're explaining it to people, because this is one of the things that I had no clue about.
Yeah.
That this was going to be an issue that I would, I mean, I knew I wouldn't have a dishwasher, but I didn't think that I would have to wash dishes outside. And I cook a lot, so we have a lot of dishes, and needless to say, now we have a lot of paper plates.
We do, and that's probably the smart way to go, although, you know, I'm big into trying to conserve the environment, so I don't really love the fact that we use paper plates.
We're working on it.
Yeah,
we're trying to figure it all out.
But we're using some paper plates, some paper cups from time to time. But yeah, I mean, you can't always just fill up the holding tanks if you're going to be at a place for a long period of time. You need to be outdoors, you know, with... why do you look at me so strange when I say outdoors, you know?
Because I don't know what accent that was, I guess.
I don't. Well, it's not really an accent. It's just, you know, it's just the way I'm speaking right now. Right. But anyway, so from time to time, we have to do the dishes outside. That's the whole point of this very long, drawn-out conversation. And in the time that it took us to explain that, the lady has already done dishes, and she is gone. She's outdoors, you know.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her. I'm not so sure that those dishes were very clean as quickly as you washed them. But anyway, the reason... Or what we're going to be talking about, I shouldn't say the reason of this podcast, is we're going to be talking about our trip moving on up from Georgia into the beautiful state of South Carolina. Put your hands up. Do you remember that song?
No.
No. You know, I was thinking earlier about songs that include South Carolina. And, you know, I don't know. Is there a song specifically that includes South Carolina? I know there's a lot of songs that talk about Carolina, but because there's, you know, several different, I shouldn't say several different, there's actually only two, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's several different Carolinas out there. There's actually only two.
Should we start this podcast over?
We might should. We might should. But I was trying to think, is there a song specifically about South Carolina? You know, I can think of, you know, there's... Now I can't think of any Carolina song. I mean, there's tons.
Sweet Caroline, South Carolina.
Wow. That's not... Wow. Wow. That was not the best example of your singing, nor was it the correct words to that song. But it's somewhat humorous, I must say. No, there was... In my mind, I'm going to Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible, too. But I don't know what Carolina he's going to. Where is he going? Is he going north or south? You know? But anyway, there's no song I can specifically come up with about South Carolina. Although I do know that the state song, I believe, is called South Carolina.
We're going to have to look that up.
Yeah. I've got a lot of facts about South Carolina. You want to hear some?
Sure. I don't think I have a choice.
No, you don't. Do you know that the state dance of South Carolina is some dance called the shag? Shag?
The shag? Shag?
What is that?
Okay. I have no idea, but I'm thinking maybe it's like something like in the 50s where they...
A shag?
Yeah, where they...
Like, I thought they danced on some old carpet. Wasn't there a carpet called shag carpet?
Yes, there was. Okay. But that was in the 70s.
Was it?
Pretty sure.
Anyway, the state dance is something called the shag.
Okay.
So, you know.
Next fact.
I don't have any more right now.
Oh.
I don't really have any more right now, but I'll look that up as we're going through our podcast. But anyway, we're going to be talking about our trip into South Carolina. Put your hands up. Oh, that's a song right there about it.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't remember that. It was a very obscure hip-hop song. I don't really remember. And I could be changing the words. It may even be South Carolina. I don't know. Could be Atlantic Ocean. Put your hands up. That's not it, is it? No, I think it's South Carolina. But anyway, and I've said but anyway several times already during this podcast, so I apologize to all you guys out there. You probably don't want to hear that. And as we've been talking, someone else just came up, and they have actually washed more dishes. So... Anyway, we are dragging on with this podcast. So when we left Georgia, Ray, we talked about a few things. In our last podcast, we talked about the ticks of Georgia. We also talked about how there was going to be an even worse story about the ticks. Are you prepared to talk about that a little bit later?
Yeah, I have to. I'm trying to forget about it.
I'm trying to forget about it as well, because that was a very scary story. And of course, everyone knows of the mechanical problems that we had with the big blue treat wagon as we entered into Georgia. Well, guess what? They continued.
And got worse.
And they did get worse. I had spent the entire week working on the big blue treat wagon. And of course, I did a very poor job because we still were having... overheating problems, mechanical problems. But when we left Georgia, I was hoping for the best. And as we traveled up past Savannah and on into coastal areas of South Carolina, an area that you and I know very well because we did vacation there right after you and I first got married. Do you remember that?
I do, but it's totally different when you take dogs there.
It is. It is. How do you think Brickell and Digby were doing on the trip up from Georgia to South Carolina?
I think that they were getting more used to the trip itself for the big blue treat wagon moving, which seemed to be a big issue, which I had never thought about, that they were having a problem with our house moving and the jarring of the trip itself going down the road. It was hard on all of us. The packing up, leaving, that kind of thing. But I think that they were getting more excited, and I started trying to use phrases to prepare them the day ahead. Like, hey, tomorrow we're going on a trip. Do you want to go on a trip? We're going to South Carolina. Do you want to go to South Carolina? So I would try to get them excited a day ahead, and it seemed to actually work. And I still do that.
You do. And it does amuse me quite a bit as well, I must say. You and your little speeches and your little songs. And probably many other people out there have similar things, little speeches, little songs that you do with your dogs. And that's okay, because, you know, your dog appreciates the interaction. They appreciate when you are happy. And when you do those little songs, those little sayings, those little speeches to your dog, you're happy. Because I can see when you do it, Ray, that you're actually very, very happy. It's really the happiest that you are throughout the day when you're talking to Brickle and Digby, isn't it?
Yeah, because I like to see when they recognize what I'm telling them.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
And they do.
All right. Okay. In some cases, they do.
Do you want to go on a trip tomorrow?
They do recognize that. That's true. I'm looking at them right now. They're dead asleep. Oh, you know what? Brickle actually, he moved his paw. Digby did get up, but that's because he's moving to a more comfortable place to sleep. Yes. I knew he wasn't going to stay on that floor very long. He likes comfort. But no, they do recognize certain things, and I do think that that is a wonderful way to interact with your dog. People that have cats, maybe it's very similar. We don't have cats, but it could be very similar. With any animal, though, I do notice that they certainly understand certain things. Maybe it's the tone of your voice, maybe it's certain words, whatever the case may be. But I also think that they appreciate the interaction and the effort that you're putting forth. Of course, I'm not a scientist. I'm just a crazy dog guy.
That's all right.
Yeah. So anyway, we left Georgia. We left that wonderful campground, and we moved on into South Carolina. It wasn't that long of a trip, thankfully. Because we did start having some overheating issues again. Yeah. And you were following me in the Jeep, and you had Brickle and Digby with you. Did they, on this second part of the trip, did they find it unusual once again that they were riding in the Jeep and seeing me in the motorhome up ahead?
They did, but as long as they're together, they seem to do much better. Because the Jeep is familiar to them, and at that time, more so than the Big Blue Treat Wagon was, they wanted to be in the Jeep.
Right.
Yeah. So they had an easier time, I believe, in the Jeep, but they were worried about you. So they would constantly look at the RV, like, where is he at? Oh, no. You know, they were worried about that. Yeah, they did.
Well, I was worried about me as well. But thankfully, you convinced me to stop many times so that they could get out, so that they could be with me as well. And I think that that's a good tip, don't you, Ray, to stop quite a bit when you're traveling with a pet.
Everybody needs a break. Yeah, you need a break too.
You're right. You're right. And it did help me quite a bit. We traveled during the day versus our journey up into Georgia. We, of course, left late. We traveled at night. That was very difficult.
Yeah.
But when we moved into South Carolina, it was much more easy because we did travel during the day. And do you remember the name of the state park that we went to in South Carolina? And I'm going to tell you, because I don't want to put you on the spot, as you were like shaking your head like, no, what was it called?
We went to two.
We went to two.
Yeah.
But the first one was called Hunting Island State Park. A beautiful, beautiful place, not too far over the border from Georgia.
It's the most visited state park in South Carolina, by the way.
It is.
Fact.
It is. Let me give you another fact. The salamander was given the honor of official state amphibian.
It's nothing to do with anything.
Well, it's not. Well, you wanted more facts. Trying to give you a fact-filled podcast. But anyway, whatever. Yes, it is the most visited, and it is so beautiful. We chose there because it was on the water, and it is a beautiful place with a lighthouse. And Brickell and Digby were not able to go up into the lighthouse. That is off limits to dogs for various reasons. I mean, a dog...
They would knock everyone down on the stairs. That would be my reason.
They would. And there's so many stairs as well. Probably not the best.
No.
Especially as they're getting a little bit older. But
they could look at it, though. And they did like looking at it.
They did. And that's the wonderful thing. It is a state park where you can walk around there with your dog. You can view the lighthouse. And also, you can view the beautiful beach, can't you, Ray?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. I think that's Brickell's favorite thing is the water and the beach. So it was a different kind of beach than what we were used to in Florida. It had a lot of driftwood. Mm-hmm. And it was gorgeous and beautiful sunsets too. So it made the transition easier.
You're right. I mean, the sunsets were spectacular there. I specifically loved it because it had bike trails, and that was the first that I had an opportunity to get out on my bike and to do some trail biking, to view some of the wildlife through there. And one thing in specific that I liked were the crabs.
Yeah.
I love crabs. I think they're one of the most unique animals out there. They show a lot of personality as well. Boy, that does sound crazy, doesn't it?
We're animal people.
We obviously are.
Not just dog people.
We obviously are. And I'm sure most of the fans of Brickell and Digby out there are animal people as well. And we thank you for that. But that park was truly a magnificent place. But because we had the overheating issues, I was also having to work for the few nights that we were there. We were only there three, and it was because the popularity of that park, it's booked up like a year in advance. And that's something that I wanted to mention to all the fans out there who might be interested in camping. Make sure that you plan far in advance if you are going to go to some of the more popular state parks, national parks, for that matter, any park, because they can become booked up well in advance. And if there's something in specific that you want to go see, you have your heart set on of traveling there with you and your pet, then you want to make sure that you make plans way in advance.
I had no idea that camping was so popular. I really didn't.
Right.
And I'm happy that it is, because it's really nice to see families enjoying each other's company and yes, the outdoors. So I didn't realize that we would have to make reservations so far in advance.
Yeah, and certainly that was a family-oriented park. There was a lot of families there. It was also hot.
Yeah, it was really hot.
Wasn't it?
Not as hot as Florida, I don't think, but it was hot.
No, but take caution when you're walking on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
With your dog, because the sand can become very hot, can't it, Ray?
Oh, yeah. You want to make sure that you check the temperature of the sand. You know, you walk in your bare feet in that sand, and you hold it there for 5 seconds and see if you can. I do even longer. If there's any doubt, I just don't walk them on it. It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
They can't tell you that their paws are burning. Just don't do it.
Do you have a saying for that? And when in doubt, do without.
Yeah.
Or when it's hot,
just wait.
You better not. I like that one. When it's hot, you better not.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When the sand is hot, you better not. It's outdoors, you know.
Tell it to the salamander in your fact sheet.
I know. The salamander is the state amphibian of South Carolina. But that was a beautiful, beautiful park. We really, really enjoyed it. We did not spend our entire time, though, in Hunting Island State Park. We did move on. But before we moved on, for the first time on our trip, we were able to go out, you and I together, and pick up a few things at some local produce stands. That was kind of cool, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I love produce stands.
I love them as well, and they were very close to the park. So we had, of course, air conditioning here in the big blue treat wagon. That wasn't broke, thankfully. And so we did put Brickell and Digby in here for a short period of time. We shut all the blinds so that they're not disturbed. While they were sleeping, we ran up the road to the local produce stands. And I want to emphasize that that's something that, as you're traveling, you want to try to experience the local flavor. And when I say local flavor, I'm not just talking about food, but talking with the people and experiencing the way that they live. That's part of the joy of traveling. And I think a wonderful way to do that is through food. And we love produce stands because the people are always so, so nice. They explain to you what things are local. They explain to you what to do with them if you're not familiar with certain vegetables that they may have or certain products that they may have. We were able to get a hot sauce there. Remember the hot sauce?
Yeah. And another thing, too, about stands is a lot of times, and most times, they're more reasonably priced than if you go to a store. And you feel like you're helping the local economy, which you are.
And the one thing I want to mention as well is sometimes produce stands sell other products that are ready made for you to eat right there. They have benches and those type of things. And a lot of times they're dog friendly.
Yeah.
So you can bring your dog with you and enjoy a lunch or a snack. And as you said, support the local people there. And of course, as I mentioned, we were able to get some hot sauce there, which I love hot sauce. I love all different types of hot sauce. I like saying the word hot sauce. It is fun. Hot sauce. But I love hot sauce. I'm sure you guys too. Many of you do as well. And South Carolina certainly has some wonderful produce stands and some wonderful produce, the low country food through that area. I absolutely love. But we moved on from the wonderful hunting island to go really only a short distance to another beautiful, beautiful area with a wonderful beach, and it's called Edisto.
Edisto.
Yeah, and I was calling it
Edisto.
What was I calling it? Edisto for quite some time, and many of the local people had to correct me, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Once you do learn, though, please try to correct yourself in the way you pronounce.
That's like where I was born was Lutz, mm-hmm. Florida, and everyone said Lutz.
L-U-T-Z.
And that used to get on my nerves so bad. I'm like, no, it's Lutz. So I understand when you go somewhere and you pronounce something wrong. And you're corrected. It's just because they're proud of where they live.
They are very proud of where they live. And South Carolinians, is that how you, would you go South Carolinians or South Carolinian? No, South Carolinians. Yes. Yeah. That is their state name, by the way. The name of the people from the state. State name. You know what I mean.
I'm trying to give you another fact. What's the name of their salamanders?
South Carolinian salamanders? Mm. I don't know.
Should be a baseball team.
You know, there might be a baseball team called that somewhere in South Carolina. I will look that up. I'm lying. I'm never going to look that up. But anyway, and I said anyway again. I apologize for that. That's my favorite saying right now, isn't it? But anyway, I'm sure you guys have some favorite sayings out there, some word whiskers, so to speak, or whatever. So please bear with me as I deal with mine. But what a wonderful place, Edisto Island. Is it an island? Edisto Island? Edisto Beach? Edisto Beach?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I think it's just a part there. Yeah. But it's actually the drive out there is listed as one of the most beautiful drives in America in reference to byways. So kind of like back roads. And it was very, very pretty. You get to see a lot of the old growth of oak trees and other types of trees through there. So it's very, very pretty. But we were going there specifically because of a rescue, weren't we, Ray?
Yep, Animal Lovers of Edisto.
Edisto, no? Oh. Was it Edisto? No, I can't remember. Edisto. No, it was Edisto. Man, I think I messed it up again. I apologize. what an incredible place. When we visited them, and we did take Brickle and Digby with us, when we visited that rescue, it seemed like we were going back on a safari, didn't it?
Yeah, I was actually, you know, just concerned, where are we going?
Right. Yeah, it was way back, what we would call way back in the woods, outdoors, you know. Yeah. But it was so interesting to travel back there. I was like, how could there be a rescue back here? But there was. And what a wonderful rescue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, those were some great people that we met, some great animals that we met, and they were so proud to do what they did. And the way that they treated their dogs was really heartwarming to me. And I'll never forget that place.
No, I won't either. And Margaret, who runs that organization, works with a great group of volunteers. I was very impressed with how many people were there working that day. And they have an unusual rescue because it's set out on a beautiful, beautiful piece of property, many, many acres. There was a young man there whose family actually allows the rescue to use this family-owned property. But what a wonderful place for dogs to be, because they can be walked on these many, many acres. They can be outside. They can be dogs while they're under this rescue's care. And that's really what was going on there, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there were a lot of special needs dogs, dogs that in particular maybe had paralyzed limbs, or that were seniors, that were discarded hunting dogs.
Right.
And they were having a great life even there at the rescue.
Yeah, I was very impressed with that. As my phone just went off there, in case anybody heard that. That's the sights and the sounds of the campground, my phone. But yeah, I was very, very impressed with the fact that they were caring for these special needs dogs. And what impressed me about it was not just the fact that they were caring for them so wholeheartedly, but the fact that these dogs, one had a broken leg, he had been discarded, and the leg had been left to heal on its own, so it never healed properly. Another one, as you mentioned, had paralyzed limbs. But it wasn't just the fact that they were alive. These dogs were enjoying life. The one dog was allowed to come and go as he pleased, and he certainly did that, but that was what he was used to, because being a hunting dog, he was used to being out there living life, and while he's there under their care, that's what was going on. The other dogs that were injured, they were enjoying their lives. They were happy dogs. They were coming up to me wanting to play. When a dog wants to play, to me, that's a happy dog. And certainly just the expressions on their faces. And I do believe, as hopefully many of you out there believe, that dogs have very expressive faces. And you can tell quite a bit from their expressions. And these dogs were happy. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. And a couple of the dogs that were having trouble walking and that had wheelchair apparatuses decided to run Brickle over a couple times, and he was not thrilled with that and put them under arrest quite a few times.
So. Right. I was very, very entertained by the interaction with Brickle and Digby with these dogs. They loved being there with them. They had a fenced-in area that Brickle and Digby could play with them there. And it was a very, very hot day.
Yeah.
And it almost seemed like many of the special needs dogs were dealing with the heat better than Brickle and Digby were.
And if you haven't seen the video that we did with them, you have to check it out, because it was actually my favorite Stop Hounding Me episode that we've done so far. Margaret was a great sport in doing it. And you can find all of our videos on youtube.com/yourdogsdiner is our channel.
And Margaret was such an interesting person, because in speaking with her, she was so serious about what she was doing. She was so devoted to what she was doing. But her personality really came out during that video. She's a very happy person. Yeah. And that's kind of a universal theme, is the happiness that people have in helping animals that are involved with rescues and shelters and those type of things. And certainly Margaret, her personality really shows through in that video. And I loved being there with her and her group of volunteers and those wonderful, wonderful dogs. And
yeah.
I can only say I was thoroughly impressed with how they help many dogs through that area. And it's a interesting note, I think, that they deal specifically with quite a few injured dogs, because that area is a very big hunting area. A lot of people use dogs for hunting, but they become injured from various accidents. And unfortunately, some hunters, you know, just leave them out there injured to die. And this group of volunteers have took it upon themselves to really help these dogs and to give them a great life, and they have that.
And I think that it hits close to home for us having Digby, knowing that Digby was a hunting dog and bred to be a hunting dog at some point. And so when we see dogs like this, of course, it has a special meaning for us. And seeing that there are actually people out there that are willing to help these dogs, even though they're going to take extra work and extra effort.
They do.
You know, that is a big commitment on their part to do that. And they happily do that. And definitely Animal Lovers of Edisto did that. And if you have a chance to check out their Facebook page and see what dogs that they currently have, definitely do that. It's Animal Lovers of Edisto.
And I will endorse having a hound like we have with Digby. It's very, very difficult, but it's also very, very rewarding. So if you can help out any of those dogs by considering a foster or adopting them, please do, because you will be rewarded incredibly, as we have been with Digby Pancake, the deputy. I don't know why I said it like that, but we love him, and there were some wonderful dogs there as well that you can love. Now, when we talk about South Carolina, something else that we were able to pick up near Edisto were some grits, right, Ray? What are grits?
Well, growing up in the South, I would say if you don't know what grits are, you need to get some, but they're delicious. Some people may think, let's see, if you're in different parts of the country, you may think of them maybe as creamed wheat.
No, because that's
wheat. Well, when we lived in California for a short period of time, that's what people related to.
Really?
Yeah, because actually some people don't know what grits are.
Right.
If you're Italian, it's polenta.
Right. It's corn.
Yeah.
It's ground corn.
Right.
A little coarser than cornmeal. So you can eat it. Many people view it as a breakfast, but in reality, it can be eaten at any time.
Yeah, don't feed it to your dogs. It's corn.
Right.
But
right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
But I love them. I don't love what you buy in the grocery store, though. But we were able at a farm stand there on Edisto, a wonderful place. Once again, we're endorsing farm stands because they're wonderful places to get to know the people and to get to know the local flavor. But you were able to get some freshly ground grits, and those things were awesome.
They were so good.
Yeah. So a local dish there, certainly to enjoy. When we talk about local dishes, we enjoy the low country food of South Carolina. But dogs, of course, need to enjoy food as well. And Ray, you had a recipe for South Carolina. Would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, so for every state that we visit, we do a dog-friendly recipe that is appropriate to the state. And definitely barbecue is a big thing in South Carolina. So for the dogs, Brickle and Digby, we made them a South Carolina barbecue for dogs. You can find the full recipe at yourdogsdiner.com. But just a preview, we used apple cider vinegar, which is great for fleas and actually is very healthy for them. So we used that along with some other ingredients. And again, you can find the recipe at yourdogsdiner.com.
Awesome. And they enjoyed it, right?
Oh, yeah. They loved it.
I'm saying that jokingly because I've never really known Brickle and Digby. Has there ever been a recipe that Brickle and Digby have not liked?
Not so far on the trip, but yeah, Brickle is the pickiest dog in the world.
He is. But it's a wonderful recipe for dogs with the South Carolina theme, because I do love South Carolina food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those states that I will say their food is just awesome. I'm very picky. I'm kind of like Brickle when it comes to food, and I don't like all Southern food, even though I'm from the South. But South Carolina, delicious, delicious. And especially grits. I do love grits. If you don't like grits, it's because you have not had good grits. And again, I'm really
hyping. Ask me for my recipe if you need it.
You do make some incredibly, incredibly good grits, I must say. The cheesy grits. I love cheesy grits.
Mm. Yeah.
But some other things that we did there in South Carolina are worth mentioning. We did a fan meetup, didn't we, Ray?
We did. We had a great response to our meetup in Charleston, South Carolina, at just the best dog park really I've ever been to. It was right in the heart of the city. It was awesome. Loved it. It was called James Island County Dog Park. It's bordered mm-hmm. by water, so there's a lot of places where the dogs can get in and swim. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of kayakers. There's places that you can sit. There's plenty of space for your dogs, so if they're not super, super social, there's areas where you can take them to, and they even have concerts in the dog park, which is so cool. And there's a fee for humans, $2, but dogs get in free. Just to let you know.
Right, as it should be. And a wonderful lady there, a fan of Brickell and Digby's, showed up there. And I had a wonderful conversation with her the entire time. I loved talking with her. She was such a nice person, such a great person. And that's, as we've mentioned before, that's kind of typical of the fans of Brickell and Digby. We can't stress enough how wonderful it is to speak to you guys. And in the case of this wonderful lady, I had a lot of things in common with her. She, of course, had dogs of her own, and I loved hearing her talk about them because we love Brickell and Digby so, so much. But we also love hearing you talk about your dogs as well because we know how special they are to you. And it was wonderful talking with her. And it was almost like I had known her for a great deal of time in speaking with her. So that was great to visit with another person that cared so much about Brickell and Digby as we care about Brickell and Digby. Now, when we talk about South Carolina, what is the most famous town in South Carolina?
I would say Charleston.
Right. Yeah. And we've talked about the dog park, but and you're probably hearing some...
Kids screaming.
Kids screaming, yeah. But it's a good scream. They're like having a good time out there at the campground. And again, we have the windows open so you can kind of experience this with us as well. I love to hear kids that are happy. But in Charleston, you can also take your dog into some rather famous and touristy areas like we did with Brickell and Digby, right?
Yeah, the waterfront park. So you can see a lot of ships coming in and out, and there's fountains, and there's ice cream, and there's places to shop. There's a lot of hustle and bustle. So if your dog, you know, doesn't like people or doesn't like crowds, it might not be the best area. But there are places you can actually take them aside.
Right. And Brickell and Digby actually acted like they enjoyed that because
they
got some ice cream, didn't they?
Yeah.
They always have a good time when it comes to ice cream. And it was incredibly special for me because in the waterfront park there, that was many years ago, that was where you and I sat, and we were able to watch some fireworks over the water and those type of things in the past that was going on. And so it was very, very entertaining for me to be able to go again to a place that we had been in the past. I mentioned before in a previous podcast about Helen, Georgia, and how special that was to me. Well, being there in Charleston and sitting at the waterfront park was also incredibly nice. It took me back to all those years ago, one of our first vacations together. It was the first time we ever stayed at a bed and breakfast, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, and some bed and breakfast places. How do you say it? Bed and breakfasts? Bed and breakfasts, if it's plural.
Bed and breakfast accommodations? I don't know.
How would you say it in a plural form? Bed and breakfasts. That doesn't make sense.
No, I don't know.
But anyway, many of the bed and breakfast
establishments
are dog friendly in different areas of the country. So you don't have to be in an RV, a tent, like we mentioned before, or whatever that you normally choose. You can do something a little bit different and try taking your dog to a bed and breakfast. There are more and more that accommodate pets.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful place that we went to all those years ago. But being there again was very, very special for me. And
thank you.
That's true. That's true. You were there, weren't you, then during that first visit? But it was special for both of us. And we appreciate the town of Charleston. We've mentioned before that it's an area that we specifically like. And sometimes we even can view ourselves living there, can't we?
Oh, yeah. I love that area.
Yeah. Yeah. Very,
except
very pretty.
For the ticks.
The ticks. You bring me to a question. We had mentioned before in a previous podcast when we were talking about Georgia, the ticks. Now, the ticks continued to follow us. And in Edisto, there were an amazing amount of ticks, wasn't there, Ray?
There were so bad. And again, there were parts of camping in this trip that I was not prepared for. And this was definitely one of the things that I wasn't prepared for, because in my wildest dreams, I would have never thought there would be ticks in my pants.
Did you dream about that, or would that be a nightmare?
It was a literal nightmare. In fact, I called my best friend in Florida, and she was just cringing about the story. I don't even think that she could bear to hear the end of it. It was embarrassing, and I won't relate the full story. I just can't do it. It's too scarring, but I will just say that, you know, like I said, the ticks were just something that I wasn't prepared for. I was sitting on my computer and writing the dog.
You were sitting on your computer?
No.
That's a very strange position to be sitting in.
I was writing the dog blog using my computer, sitting on a chair.
You were writing the dog blog. I thought Brickle and Digby
they were
the
relate.
Dog blog.
I do the typing. I've never hidden that fact.
Okay.
So I was typing the blog for them and felt something. Mm. And I thought, no way. Just no way. There's something in my pants. And another thing about the RV is that you have no privacy, because if you have your curtains open, you don't realize, but everybody can see it, and you're in like a fishbowl. Mm-hmm. And here I am freaking out, trying to find this tick. I can't see the tick. I can feel the tick. The window, the curtains are wide open on the RV. I'm trying to do what I have to do to find find the tick.
And you can feel them crawling.
Yeah, and I hope I didn't scar anyone.
You've scarred me. The story has scarred
me. I haven't even related the full story, and I'm going
to
stop it at that point. But
you and I will no longer be able to be together if this is the case.
So I'll just say that that was just one of the things of this trip. This is how I'm going to end the story. That was one of the things of this trip, is I didn't think that there would be ticks in my pants. And I hope that that was the last time that there are ticks in my pants or fleas in my pants. Or
I hope so.
Anything of the sort of these other states we haven't been to that I apparently have no idea. Menacing things that you have waiting for us.
You certainly don't want any type of an arachnid in your pants. Isn't a tick an arachnid?
Or arachnid? No idea.
Right? Well, you said they're kind of like spiders, right?
Yes.
Arachnophobia. Yeah, they're arachnids. Yeah. Have you ever really looked closely at them? I mean, they're incredible creatures. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
no, I have respect for the tick and his job and what he's trying to do. But find your job, not in my pants.
Yes, get a job elsewhere. And like I say, if you ever relate any full details of that story, even to me, because I don't know the full details of that story, that was already more details than I've ever heard of the story. And like I say, you and I may have to be separated for a little bit. Because that's very disturbing. But yes, and hopefully none of you out there have had similar experiences with anything like that. I did one time step in fire ants that I was unaware of, and that's another thing, just to let you know, you don't want in your pants. Really? Really? I guess that's the bottom line, right? Everybody out there?
No bugs in your pants?
No, no. You don't want any creatures in your pants. I mean, I think that that's the...
True.
It's
just
true.
Stop there.
Right.
Next.
But you're right. Bugs in your pants is probably more...
Sweet Caroline.
Bum, bum, bum. Do you think that's North Carolina or South Carolina?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You know what? It might be South Carolina because... I don't know.
I don't know. What do you guys think out there? What South Carolina songs are there? Are the ambiguous Carolina songs, are they talking about both states, singular state, whatever the case may be? Did you know, another state fact, that the football team, the college football team of South Carolina, they are known as the Gamecocks. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah. Their mascot is a chicken, a rooster, I believe. Yeah, I love.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, not as interesting as the state amphibian, but you know, the salamander. Did you know that?
Yeah,
I may have mentioned that. Yeah, there are many more facts about South Carolina that we encourage you to find out about as you hopefully plan a trip with you and your dog to the wonderful state of South Carolina.
And if you would like a full rundown of our South Carolina recommendations, if you go to our website, twotravelingdogs.com, and hit our 7 greatest things of each state, you'll find the link for our Bark Post article for South Carolina.
And on our next podcast, we will be leaving the wonderful state of South Carolina and heading to the northerly neighbor known as North Carolina. Put your hands up. I don't think that was in that song. But we will be talking about, as we were leaving South Carolina, the big breakdown. We did have a breakdown, didn't we, Ray?
Yeah, the fans know about it. They were highly upset.
Yeah, there was a big breakdown as we were leaving South Carolina. We will talk about that on our next podcast. I don't think I said that we would talk about it on this one, did we?
No.
I hope not.
No.
Because I have
next
to.
Next time.
Yeah, I hope to have, you know, have to leave people with a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I'm outdoors, you know. I don't know. I love that accent. I'm outdoors, you know. But we'll be talking about that next time. And we'll be talking about the shelter that we went to in North Carolina, which it was a shelter versus a rescue, which was something a little bit different, wasn't it? And we'll be talking about your recipe as well, Ray, for North Carolina.
Yes, we will.
So hopefully you will join us. We look forward to talking with you. Brickle and Digby look forward to that. Is there anything else, Ray, that you'd like to add?
Make sure you follow us on all your social media channels. Of course, Facebook, Two Traveling Dogs, Twitter, Two Traveling Dogs, Instagram, Two Traveling Dogs. And if you are looking for our recipes, Instagram, Your Dog's Diner, yourdogsdiner.com. And then we have 2 new exciting Instagram channels where you're going to get behind the scenes and extra footage of our trip in different ways. We have Instagram at Two Traveling Dogs Detours and Two Traveling Dogs Wine.
That's what we're going to be doing as soon as we end this podcast. We're going to be drinking some wine and we're going to be making pizza on the campfire.
First time.
So we'll have to see how that turns out. I'm hoping good. If it turns out bad, I don't care. I'm still going to eat it. I love pizza.
Starving.
But we thank you again for joining us on this adventure of a lifetime. I didn't say it right, did I?
Adventure of a lifetime.
Perfect. That's what I wanted. And we always want to remind everyone, as Brickle and Digby always say, please make rescues the breed of choice. And goodbye from the Two Traveling Dogs podcast.
Love you all.